Thank you, Asha. Please be seated. A number of years ago, when I was doing some advanced theological work, I would be gone from home for a week at a time, several times a year. Our kids were young at that time, so I developed a pattern of bringing home gifts every time I was away. I would bring a gift for Brenda and one for each of our boys. It was never anything elaborate. It was just a way for me to let them know that I was thinking about them while I was gone. Well, after doing this a couple times, I noticed a pattern develop. When I would arrive home after being gone for a week, all three of them would greet me at the door, and our boys would actually look in my pockets or in the bags I carried in until they found the gift that they had become accustomed to receiving. When they found what they were looking for, they would grab it and run away and enjoy their newfound bounty. But Brenda would greet me with a hug and a kiss and a question about how my trip was. She never asked about the gift, even though I would always have something for her. And after this happened a few times, I was struck by the difference in the reactions between Brenda and the boys. When I would arrive home, the boys were more interested in the gifts. Brenda was more interested in me. Which brings us to our question for today. Are we more interested in the gift or in the giver? Are we more interested in what we get from God or in being in relationship with the Creator of all there is? This is the question Jesus was addressing when he said, "I am the bread of life." You see, the crowd had come to Jesus looking for food. But Jesus said, "I can feed more than your stomachs. I can feed your soul." But let's back up a bit. This was early in Jesus' public ministry, and Jesus had become a popular teacher. Word had spread about his miracles, and after a while, great crowds would gather from all the towns in the area to hear him preach and in hopes that they would see a miracle. One day, a large crowd of over 5,000 people had gathered to hear Jesus preach along the Sea of Galilee. As the day drew long, Jesus told the disciples to find some food for the crowd. But the only food the disciples could find was a boy's lunch of 5 small loaves and 2 fish. The disciples recommended to Jesus that he just send the people home. But instead, Jesus blessed the boys' small lunch and told the disciples to pass it among the 5,000 who had come to hear him preach. When it was all over, everyone had their fill to eat, and they collected 12 baskets of leftovers. When the crowd saw this miracle, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." At the end of the day, Jesus sent the disciples on a boat to Capernaum, and Jesus went off to pray. The next day, the crowd caught up to Jesus and his disciples in Capernaum. And the crowd said to Jesus, "What are you going to do for us today, Jesus? Moses gave our ancestors bread from heaven. What are you going to do for us?" Jesus' response to that question is our scripture lesson today, found in John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35. Would you read this with me? "Then Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Last week, we introduced our Lenten study, The God We Can Know, by Rob Fuqua. Each week, from now through Easter, we'll be looking at one of the I Am sayings, both during worship and in coordinated small groups. There are still books available in the community room, along with a listing of times for these small group meetings. Last week, we traced the origin of Jesus' I Am statements back to Moses meeting with God at the burning bush. At the burning bush, God said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you. We also saw how the phrase I am and God's name Yahweh are linked together both in the Old and New Testaments. And we said each time Jesus used the phrase I am, he was not only describing something about himself, but he was also making claims about the character of God. So when the crowd said to Jesus, Moses gave our ancestors bread from heaven to eat, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. But the crowd was more interested in the gift than in the giver. Think about that for a moment. The crowd was fewer than 24 hours removed from the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And now they're asking, What can you do for us now, Jesus? That's the problem with looking for the gift instead of welcoming the giver. When we're looking for the gift, there's never enough. Not only that, but it makes it hard to enjoy what we have. It makes us constant consumers instead of enjoyers. The crowd wanted their stomachs filled. But as Rob Fuqua says in our study book, there's a difference between being full and being satisfied. When life becomes just a matter of chasing fullness, happiness is always temporary. There's always another need, another want, another crisis, another something that keeps us from being satisfied. When we are more interested in the gift than the giver, God becomes to us like a magic genie or a heavenly vending machine. When we put our money in the slot and pull the lever, we expect God to fulfill our desires. Our prayers become to-do lists that we give to God, rather than praising and adoring and just spending time with the Creator. I can't count the number of times I've talked to people who tell me that they don't believe in God anymore because God didn't give them what they wanted. That was their image of God, a cosmic vending machine, a magic genie. Whatever it was, the gift was more important than the giver. When the crowd came to Jesus and said, What will you do for us today? Jesus responded, I don't want to just sustain your bodies. I want to give you life. I want to give you contentment and hope. I want to be with you no matter what circumstance you face. I want you to know the presence and protection of the great I am. Instead of being full of things, I want you to find satisfaction in me. Instead of being full of things, I want you to find satisfaction in me. So how do we do that? How do we wean ourselves from what the world tells us we need and discover Jesus as the source of our satisfaction? Well, in some ways, that's what the season of Lent is all about. During these weeks before Easter, we are invited to dig deeper into our relationship with God. We are invited to look for ways to journey with Jesus to the cross so that we might find new meaning in the empty tomb. Our study suggests three Lenten disciplines, and I want to share with you a fourth one. The first one that Fuqua suggests in our study book is that of fasting. Fasting is breaking from any routine or pattern for a given period of time. We most often think about it in terms of eating. We skip a meal, or we give up some type of food or drink for the season of Lent. But fasting doesn't have to be about food. We can fast from technology. Maybe give up our phones between lunch and dinner every day. Oh, no. I know several people who have given up all social media for Lent. Fasting can be done in a variety of ways. But fasting does three things for us. First, fasting helps us focus on the giver instead of the gift. Through fasting, we stop asking for more and just enjoy being with God. The second thing fasting does for us is that the discomfort of going without something we enjoy reminds us of the suffering of Jesus on our behalf. And third, fasting makes room for something else in our lives. If we skip lunch every day, that gives us extra time to pray. Or if we give up technology, we'll have more time to spend with family and friends. Fasting can be a powerful Lenten discipline. It doesn't have to be just about food. The second thing Fuqua suggests we can do for Lent is to move from expecting to accepting. Instead of presenting God with a to-do list every day, accept what God puts in front of us each day. What if in our prayers we stopped telling God what to do and said instead, "Thank you, God, for in you I already possess everything that is necessary for joy." That's how we learn the value of the giver more than the gift. Fuqua's third suggestion is to focus more on feeding than on being fed. If you've ever visited a sick person, you know that it's a ministry both to you and to the person you visit. If you've ever taught Sunday school, you know that the teacher learns more than the students. Instead of asking God to bless us, ask God to show us how to be blessings to others. Focus more on feeding than on being fed. And to add to our study books list, I add, call your calendars. Lent is a perfect time to develop new patterns of behavior. You know, not a single person said to me last week, "I just don't have enough to do." And if you've got kids at home, you're not only dealing with your own calendar, you're dealing with their calendars as well. Now, our calendars are filled with many good things, but ultimately, even those good things don't give life. Spend more time with the giver rather than chasing the gift. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he claimed that he is the one who gives life. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he invoked the covenant name of God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he declared that our hearts will forever be restless until we find our rest in him. Let's pray. Gracious and ever-giving God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you pour out your blessings upon us. But help us to not take those blessings for granted. Help us to always look to the giver instead of the gift. We thank you, God, for giving us your Son so that we might see what you are like, so that we could see that you sustain us, not only in our physical bodies, but in our very souls. And that in you we find true life and meaning. So work in us. Help us to be more interested in serving rather than being served. Draw us deeper in relationship with you, that all that we are and all that we do gives honor and glory to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.